time to memorize this verse. I titled this Love It or Hate It, What's Your Choice? Proverbs 12:1 was our memory verse for the month, and it's a verse that seems really straightforward, really simple, but as you unpack it, there's a lot of stuff in this verse that it really spoke to me, and I hope we can make it speak to you, make this thing come alive. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instructions loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Loves instruction. So, I mean, that's seemed like a simple principle, something's easy to understand, but who loves correction? Who loves instruction when you think you don't need to be instructed? Not many of us do we? These different translations of this verse give some more insight to it. The King James Version says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." And the NLT, New Living Translation, says, "To learn you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction." And then the ESV says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid." So there's a different translation there. So in order to understand totally what Solomon is trying to say to us here, we need to understand a little of background here. Obviously, Solomon is the writer of the proverb here. The book of Proverbs is a book of statements, sayings, wise sayings of Solomon. And they're mostly directed to wisdom for life. And there's we'll look at an outline here of it, but the purpose of the book of Proverbs, we see here, you're going to see in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, it's to have an utmost reverence for God is the beginning of knowledge. We've studied this before in some of our verses. I think Proverbs 1:7 back this winter, we had that verse. Pastor puts these verses together, and it's kind of neat how they tie together, and they speak to you, they speak to him, and so it's inspirational to me even to have an opportunity to study it. But in Proverbs, is this the pen?
Yeah, you got
three. Oh, on top? Yep. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So this outline of Proverbs, when we look at it here, the first chapter, verses 1 through 7, is our purpose statement we just spoke of. And then the next section is the 12 lessons on wisdom versus folly. And then the summary of these 12 lessons. Then in chapter 4 is the first book of Solomon. This is the first one put together. It's right and wrong, conduct in contrast. And so this is where, you know, we are in this section right here. And then the precepts of a wise man are in chapters 22 through 24. And then the second book of Solomon, another compilation of sayings of Solomon, chapters 25 through 29, 27. And then the final appendixes and the words of Agar, Lemuel, and the virtuous woman. So as we look at this verse and study this verse, we're going to see some contrasting words in this verse. This is notorious for Proverbs. This contracting word we see in our verse is love and hate, instruction, correction, and we see knowledge and stupid. So these words contrast one another. So they right away, when you're looking at this passage, you want to understand why. Why are these words contrasting, and what do they mean? Words mean something, especially in their context, because context determines interpretation. So we want to know what these words mean. And as we look at this verse grammatically, we can see that it's two independent clauses with a conjunction in between it. And you may think, well, big deal. What does that mean? But when you're looking at the Bible contextually, grammatically, to understand what it says, it helps put it together so you can understand totally what the Word of God is speaking to us. And that's what's really neat about these verses. So this verse starts out, as we've seen, verse starts out. Does anybody know how the verse starts out? But whoever loves knowledge, right? For whoever loves knowledge. In the Greek, there's a definite article before this, and it's the one who loves knowledge. And the word love here is a word that shows great affection. Great affection, like an agape type of love, but it's not the word agape. And the word instruction here is, we'll look and see. So this loves is an agape style love. And the word instruction here, who loves instruction? Who loves to be instructed of something? Especially us men. The men out there, who loves to be instructed when you think you already know what you're doing, what you're talking about? None of us do it, do we? It's difficult, especially if you think the instructor doesn't know what he's talking about. That's really hard. So instruction is necessary, and number one for your handout, to obtain a deeper knowledge of our God. To obtain a deeper knowledge. It's necessary in our Christian life, this instruction, because we're never, ever above instruction. We're never going to stop being instructed. The day we stop being instructed, the day we die. The Word of God instructs us. It speaks to us. Without instruction, we'd wake up every morning and wouldn't know what to do. This instruction we're going to see here is the Hebrew word masar. It means discipline, chastisement, training, exhortation, or warning. So it can mean any of those things here, this word masar. Training, exhortation. So if you're exhorting someone, you're instructing them. If you're warning someone, you're instructing them. We often think that instruction is discipline and chastisement. We qualify that word. This kind of funny joke here, this life, some assembly required, the husband says, why can't I get this thing together? And the wife said, well, why don't you try reading the instruction, the Bible, the Word of God? And this encouraging verse that we see all the time, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. We often lean on our own understanding. We don't take instruction. And hopefully this is not you, but some people think that they understand the Word of God completely. They don't need instruction. So it's difficult to speak to somebody and teach somebody that doesn't need to be instructed. The next word we see here is knowledge. We've seen this many times in Proverbs. This word occurs 40 times in Proverbs. 40 different times. And what's interesting about that is that in the whole Old Testament, 89 times knowledge is brought up. 40 of them are in Proverbs. So it's a very important word. Knowledge is a Hebrew word, dadat. It means understanding, skillful wisdom. He who loves instruction loves knowledge. We all love knowledge. We want to know more. We want to know how to be better at our work. But how about God's knowledge? How about to know what God wants for you in your life? This blueprint that He's got laid out in the Word of God for you and for me. And this knowledge, we can understand that through His Word. Example of this is in Proverbs 1, verses 2 and 3. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2, 5, and 6 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. This reverence, this respect for God, you'll find knowledge of God. When you can study the Word of God in a mindset that you know that your God is your Heavenly Father and He only wants best for you. He's a merciful, a long-suffering God. You want to know more about Him, and you can understand Him. For the Lord gives wisdom, for out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This knowledge. For the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. I mean, who doesn't want knowledge? We all want knowledge. We all want to understand more.
more and more, especially about our Savior. Because the key to life isn't what the world displays out there or what we see on the internet. The key to life for a believer in Christ is what the Word of God says. There's where our direction comes from. There's where our wisdom, our knowledge comes from. And so the more we know of His Word, the more we know what He wants for us in our lives. So the first part of the verse, the first statement was, whoever loves knowledge or loves instruction, loves knowledge. Then we got this contrasting word, this but. This but. So these parallel thoughts that are contrasting. He who hates correction is stupid. Who hates correction is stupid. The first thing that comes to my mind, I don't know if it's yours, but my mom said, never say stupid. You don't call anybody stupid. That's a bad word. And so, stupid's in the Bible? Wow, that's kind of interesting. But this contrasting thought, he who hates correction is stupid. This hates here is a participle, which is a verbal adjective. So the one who hates, and the word hate here, it means to abhor. It means to dislike greatly. It means to detest. It means to loathe, to intensely dislike something. Now, who intensely hates instruction? I know I used to when I was growing up. When the belt came out or Dad told me to go cut a stick in the woods, I hated correction because I knew what was coming. But how many of us hate instruction spiritually? That's what the verse is trying to teach us, is that we can love this type of instruction, this type of a correction, because God is using this to work out an area of our life, to burn off the dross, to take these impurities out of our lives. And every person is different in their Christian walk. Some people may be at a different stage than others and need different type of instruction, different type of correction. But the Word of God covers it all. This word hate is used 146 times in the Old Testament. It's kind of interesting when you look at some of these usages of these words, you know, how many times they're used. So point number two, if correction is required to mold and transform God's children, why would anyone be dumb enough to hate it? Why would we hate it if God wants to use this to mold your character, to mold who you are? Why would we hate it? This word correction here is an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word, tokatat. It means a rebuke, reprimand, reproof, chastisement, or punishment. And we know one of these verses that we use quite often, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, training in righteousness. This is the Word of God. It's constantly instructing us, constantly correcting us, constantly rebuking us in different areas of our lives. This verse, Proverbs 3:11-12, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom He delights. The parallel verse for this is Hebrews 12:6, we're all very familiar with. But this Proverbs chapter 27, open rebuke is better. Again, this rebuke, this word here, is our word for correction. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I mean, for a friend to be able to rebuke or to exhort another friend, I mean, that's precious. That's precious. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Just the opposite. So this word stupid, everybody wants to know what stupid is. Stupid is the word brutish. It means beast-like, lacking understanding, senseless, or foolish. This word speaks of a savage type of animal that's just going wild with no senses whatsoever. It's a type of person that is senseless to correction. And it's a mindset of like a wounded dog who bites the hand of the person trying to help them. You can't look past your temporary pain to see what's directly affecting you. It's just totally senseless. And you think, well, that doesn't describe us or me. But the Bible says it does, and it can. A couple of verses on stupid. Oh Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man. This is the same word as stupid. A senseless man does not know. Does a fool understand this? I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Same words for stupid. Just for a matter of usage, four different times this word is used, stupid, in the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 30, if we see, drop down to verse 2, Agar says, "Surely I am more stupid than any man. I am more stupid and do not have the understanding of man. I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One." No knowledge, no wisdom of the Holy One. So you think that, well, that doesn't describe me. I looked at a few things that I thought were really stupid. And this one really jumped out at me. This smoke alarm. I could see Pete putting this up in his house. This smoke alarm, when it goes off, it's got the sounds of the rainforest, this calming effect. Wake up to your next fire, calm and refreshed. Or nurses can't fix stupid. We can just sedate it. And this one, I mean, this is probably something us a lot of us guys know, these anti-stupid pills. For people who make lots of mistakes, take a daily dosage, one pill before opening your mouth. I mean, isn't that a description of us a lot of times? But as you think about this, you think about correction and instruction. A lot of people think that they're doing okay in life. They don't need instruction, they don't need correction. But I thought about some examples in the Bible, and one of them really spoke to me. I don't think we got time to look at it, but in Genesis chapter 11, it speaks about the Tower of Babel. You guys are familiar with the story? The Tower of Babel, and I'll read a couple of verses on here. "And it came to pass, as they sojourned from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, they had mortar for asphalt for mortar, and they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is to the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered about the earth.'" These people did not think they needed any type of correction or instruction. They were doing things on their own terms. They weren't checking in with God because God had told them, "Be fruitful and multiply, spread out throughout the earth." But these people were doing things their way. How often do we in our Christian life wake up in the morning and check out and just go do things our way without any type of mental instruction or correction to our thoughts? And we just do things our way. It's all about what I'm going to do for the day instead of what God wants for me. I know personally that happens to me a lot. So the instruction here was to be fruitful and multiply. And so the correction that God did, as we all know, He confused their language. He came down because they were one mass of people with one language, and God came down and confused their language. He made a correction. I mean, God makes corrections in our lives, in my life quite often. And I need correction. I need instruction. And we all do. You know, how many times do we just go along without praying about stuff or even waiting on the Lord? Maybe we want to do something, we pray about it, and then we just go ahead and do it, you know, with an impulsiveness. That happens. And the main reason that we despise instruction or correction is our pride, right? For us men, it's one of the biggest things. Our pride is the main reason we despise instruction or correction. We've seen that in our monthly memory verse last week, chapter 6, verse 16, where it talked about the pride of life, one of the things that God hates. But in 1 John 2:16 and 17, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. See, our pride gets in the way because we think that we don't need instruction or correction. We think we got this thing figured out. But yet, God's got a different plan for us. We got the Word of God. We have the most precious resource available to anybody. This direction and correction. And the opposite is humility. Right? Pride refuses to be taught. Humility is just the opposite. It refuses not to be. A humble person, a person that's humble with a posture that I want to learn, I want to know more, is a person that's teachable, right? That's the kind of person that God can use. And that's just the ultimate goal, is to be transformed into be a usable vessel for the work of the Lord. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care and burdens upon Him. So I hope this can be encouraging to us, that we can be instructed. We need to be corrected often, and we need to humble ourselves before the mighty God and get our direction, get our instruction from Him. Not from the internet or some personal source or even a friend, but from biblical principles and biblical values. I hope that made sense. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of reading your word, Lord. Thank you for the Proverbs. Just so encouraging to read the verses and the wisdom that's there, Lord. We just pray that we would not lean on our own understanding. We'd be trusting you in all our decisions. Lord, we thank you for your mercies that are renewed every morning. We can check in every day with you, and you can guide and you can direct us in every aspect of our lives. As we need instruction, we need wisdom for this daily grind that we live. So bless us, Lord. Just pray for our country, undertake for even our leadership of our country, that they would have a humble posture, that they would want to be instructed and even taught godly principles, Lord. And we know that that's a difficult task, but we know with you anything's possible. So we thank you for this time tonight, and thank you for Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.